Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right over there between the demo and the ready room. Every Friday they have an all new music happy hour sponsored by Four Hands Brewery. 10% off any purchases, free beer for those of age. And new records coming in from G-Eazy, School of Rock, soundtrack on vinyl, and Jeff Buckley, You and I, and all kinds of other stuff. They always have their local music section, so you can go over there, check out some of your favorites from around town, get some vinyl, some tapes, some CDs even, all kinds of stuff. Check it out, 4191A Manchester Avenue. Online at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com. Hey everybody, it's Shane over here at Rock Paper Podcast. I wanted to tell you about my friends at CosmicStop.com. A brand new site just launched the other day, and it's got all kinds of cool rock and roll stickers and shirts and posters and all kinds of things going on. So if you go over there to CosmicStop.com, check out what they got going on. Stickers and shirts from Queen and Nirvana and Bowie, Allman Brothers, Jimi Hendrix, all of your favorites. So CosmicStop.com, and they also have an official Facebook and Twitter as well if you want to follow those. Thank you.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Andy Hamilton, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from my kitchen in Wentzville, Missouri, hanging out with Andy Hamilton. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So, we just recently started kind of talking more. I kind of known of you for a little while now, and we started talking more, and I was like, hey, come on the show, let's hang out and get to know each other a little better and stuff. And then you've been doing a lot more with stand-up comedy.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing stand-up about 18 months now, so a year and a half. I've had a couple of months off here and there just due to various reasons. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to go out more and more, and have some good opportunities coming up, and I've had some good opportunities the past few months. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Yeah, as part of the show, like, I enjoy, even in music too, but, like, I enjoy talking to, you know, the open mic guy. I enjoy talking to the guy who's been doing it for a while, and then I enjoy talking to, you know, the veterans that have been at it for several years. I've been fortunate enough to be able to talk to a lot of various comedians and musicians, and it's just fun to hear different take on stuff, you know, the your viewpoint on compared to what some other people's, you know, and
right.
And things. So it's just it's exciting, and to help, you know, like I said, to capture these moments and get to figure, you know, hear your view on it. But we were kind of mentioned off mic, but we talked about your first mic. You said you went up for the first time at Funny Bone.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess that was really the only place, you know, I started thinking about doing comedy, and that's really the only place that I knew to go. I think for most guys, they start out maybe at a bar mic, like a Fitz's or something like that. And you know, I'd been thinking about doing it for a while, and I knew, kind of lived close to the Funny Bone, so eventually I went and tried it out, and in hindsight, I probably just done a bar mic, because it was pretty nerve-wracking, but yeah, my first time, it was, I remember it was right before, like, Labor Day, in 2014, so like I said, about a year and a half now. And it's funny because my first time, you know, you're not really sure how it's going to go,
right,
or what to expect. You know, they tell you the rules on the website and the meeting. You know, you get 4 minutes. Don't go over 4 minutes, whatever you do, and just try to adhere to all the rules. But anyways, I didn't tell any of my friends that I was doing it or really anybody. I just wanted to just go do it. Mm-hmm. And that way, if I bombed, no one would know. Yeah. So, and then from there, I mean, for the most part, I felt like even no matter what, I wanted to continue doing it and try to get better.
Had you been going for like weeks to scoping it out at all, or did you just like?
I went to one show. Probably it might have been like 6 months prior to that. Me and my buddy, we went to an open mic, more just to watch the show, and mm-hmm. we had a good time. You know, had a couple drinks, and everyone was. I remember like everyone just did awesome, and then so it was a good time. And I guess it was. I think even prior to that, I'd kind of given thought to doing it. I listened to a lot of comedy, especially just like once I got to like high school and college. So I just started having more of an interest in comedy. Just growing up watching stuff like, I don't know, like Chappelle's Show and stand-up, like, you know, Bill Burr. Sure. And even just like I grew up watching Jay Leno and stuff. Yeah. So
right.
That was cool. But another thing, yeah, about my first mic. So I didn't tell anybody. Coincidentally, my buddy... Cal, I went to college with, he's actually from the Wentzville area, just happened to be there, so I was like, oh, man, and I went and talked to him, I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? I was like, oh, hey, here to watch the show. Like, funny thing is, I'll actually be on stage tonight. He's like, no kidding. I was like, yeah, seriously. He's like, oh, well, good luck. And I think for my first time, it went pretty decent. Like, I actually had prepared material, and I think I had... like a good 3 minutes, and my first set ever was talking about a show called Extreme Couponing on TLC. Right. So, yeah, I don't know how many people actually watched that show, but I thought it'd be a funny premise. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I did that, and you know, I got a few laughs, and just kind of took it from there.
You were hooked, huh?
Yeah, and then I don't know if you were at that one. You might have been at maybe my second or third.
Yeah, I'm not sure which. I don't really get to make it to a lot of the open mics just because of work and everything else. But we did a couple of podcasts down there when we first got this thing rolling. Me and my buddy Chris, we went down there. I remember we recorded with like Kenny Kines
there,
Jake Baker. A few other guys, I remember, around the Funny Bone there on open mic nights. Like, so we did one, like,
yeah.
You know, because they would do a set, and then we, after they were done, we'd duck out and end up recording some. So, but there was, I remember one, like, we sat there and we watched Jake, because he was hosting the open mic that night, and, anyway, yeah, so anyway, I was down there a couple nights, like, that dude, watching the open mics, and then, like, I remember seeing you up there, and, you know, at the time, like, we didn't know each other then.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have memory of it, but I can remember it just I could visually see you like shaking, like you were, like so how nervous you were to getting up there. So that's what made me like I couldn't remember if it was like I said if it was first or second or whatever. But yeah, like it was just
I probably was.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, like the first couple times, especially like just at a comedy club.
Yeah,
I remember like one time just like my. Left leg was like shaking.
Right.
I was like, oh shit! I was just like so nervous. But yeah, after a while, you just it kind of goes away. I guess with like most things, the more you do it, the least nervous you get, the better you get at. And yeah, most of the time, I mean, I still get a little nervous now, like at comedy clubs, but definitely just like going. It's just so natural now, just mm-hmm. especially when you do it. I'm at the point now where I usually go out like 3 times a week or try to at least. So. Just more now the nerves have kind of gone away. And like I said, especially like at like a Helium or a Funny Bone, like you, it is like an audition. So you still have a few butterflies, like even for the open mic. But yeah, definitely not nearly as bad as when it first started. Yeah. So, but
what do you recall your You said you had a bit about the couponing, but was that like your first joke you wrote?
Yeah, that was... I basically was like 3 minutes about extreme couponing. Yeah. Have you ever seen that show?
I don't think so. I don't get to watch a ton of TV.
Yeah, looking back, I was like... Yeah. And after I did it, even, I was like, I wonder how many people actually like even watch that show. It's on TLC. And I think a lot of people watch TLC in general, but... yeah, I just... go on about how these people, you know, spend hours extreme couponing, and I think probably one of the jokes or parts that I liked was, you know, these people buy so much stuff at the grocery store because they have all these coupons, so they take advantage of it that they end up having to build custom shelves and overhaul their pantries. And like, so if you're building these shelves and with all the coupons, like, aren't you just breaking even? And that's,
yeah, right.
But anyway, I'm sure none of it was funny. But anyways, but I think I got a couple laughs out of it, and then I just kind of went from there. And
so, who's the guy you watched as a kid when you were thinking like that's what I want to do? And
A lot of people. I remember I watched a lot of like Dave Chappelle. You know, back. Man, that must have been, like, probably, what, 15 years ago now that Chappelle's show was out, and he had...
Yeah, something like that.
Had stand-up specials and stuff, so that was him, and just growing up as a kid, like, my parents watched Jay Leno, so I started watching Jay Leno, and
yeah.
I know most people are, like, either Letterman or Conan guys, so I'm probably in the minority, but I don't know, I always grew up watching Jay Leno, and then... You'd see comics like come up on his show too, like a Rodney Dangerfield or something like that, or Seinfeld. I started watching like a lot of Bill, like in high school and college. Greg Giraldo is probably one of my all time favorites. Unfortunately, you know, he passed away, but
yeah.
I still enjoy watching him.
Some of those guys just like, I mean, it's crazy to think like. Giraldo, you know, he's been gone for so long already, but that how relevant his material still is. It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's crazy that you write this stuff and it's still like, you know, a timeless bit, you know, and stuff. It's still great.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was definitely one of my favorites. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, I tried to watch everybody. I mean, back, you know, 10 years ago or so, and just like Dane Cook was popular among everyone, and so I watched him a little bit.
Right.
But, and
did you get to go see them live at all?
No, I never got a chance to really go to any comedy shows. I think that open mic that we referenced earlier was really my first comedy show that I ever went to, and that was probably two and a half years ago now.
Okay.
And then, like I said, and then I ended up trying it out, so but I think after I graduated college, I kind of started developing an interest, just watching more and more. I was like, yeah, maybe this is something that I could like try out, and just you know, I always try to crack jokes like amongst my friends, and pretty much went like at work and like going to school and stuff, and like everyone's like, oh, that's, you know, that's hilarious, dude. But there's a way different, totally different when you're telling jokes like at a workplace and then getting on stage and trying to like relate to people, and that's what I found out really quick. So
yeah.
It's like at work, people set you up for the punchline. It's easy just to be witty and, you know, come up with something and make people laugh, as opposed to trying to relate to a diverse audience and then going up there and getting people to laugh. So
Right. That's
I guess that took me a little getting used to, yeah, that's more or less how I got started in comedy. And yeah.
Is this, you know, like, I know it's, you know, early on, but I mean, is this something that you, you know, do you want to just keep as a hobby, or are you wanting to pursue it? Or
oh, yeah, I'm definitely wanting to pursue it. And I think when I first started out, that was my goal to pursue it. So, yeah, I definitely, even though I have a year and a half in, I'd say I'm still learning and still inexperienced. There's a lot of guys in the scene around that have been doing it 6, 7, 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
And
I recently had a guy, Adam Ray, on the show. I got to hang out with him for a while, and he's everything. I've listened to a lot of his stories on through his podcast and everything else, and then having him on my show too. But just like hearing him like tell some stories about his, you know, he's had a couple of things that like led into place, but like he's been at working doing mics for I think it's like at least 7 years, but he's, you know, he did some stuff like as Wolverine for
X-Men.
At the park or whatever at Universal Studios or whatever.
Oh, okay. And stuff. Like,
so you got to try. So got like you. There was, and he went to acting school at and stuff. So like there's a lot of things that like he all went into place before he even got to some of the where he's at now. But you know, he's been at it for 7 years, and things have been taking off for him now. You know, had the first album, and now he's gonna be in the new Ghostbusters coming up, and he was in Heat and Spy and all these things. And
yeah, I believe I've seen him on TV. He has a show, right? Or
yeah, he's got a new TBS show, Separation Anxiety, coming out on a game show thing on TBS.
Yeah, he was at the Funny Bone, I guess. What was it, like 2 or 3? Maybe like a month ago.
Yeah. It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I was wanting to go see him. I think I had a couple things come up, but. Yeah, that's really cool, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, so just, you know, these guys, like you said, you know, he's been at it for a long time, and you know, kind of just getting to that level, I think, where he feels comfortable, even, you know, like headlining and has and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a lot of work, man. It's, you know, it's a long time to, there's, you know, guys that put in the several years and,
oh yeah,
and before they ever get to, you know, so, and then of course it's not that it's impossible, but it's just like but there's some people that come on and like they'll hit right away, you know, like, I've only been doing this a year or two or whatever. And it's like, it's crazy to some of these guys that are, you know, just have a natural knack for it, you know, it's a gift. And
yeah, I've definitely seen that. Like there's been some guys that have maybe been doing it a little less than I have, or getting more opportunities, and I don't like hold that against them or anything, but I try to support everybody, but and not pay attention to what everyone else is doing. But yeah, I think the one thing I've learned just talking to guys who've been doing it a long time, and maybe some guys that have been doing it kind of in my range, like 2 or 3 years, like everyone's different. I mean, everyone progresses differently, so I try not to put a timeline on it, but at the same time, everyone's kind of anxious to, you know, get those opportunities and keep improving. So yeah, like I said, I'm at a year and a half right now, and I'm definitely starting to look for more opportunities and do it more. And the more you do it, the more you get out, the more chance you have of getting noticed and getting invited to, like, say, a showcase or something like that, or a weekend at the club. So
yeah, well, you gotta. Let's get this started here. You got a big show coming up, seems like the hard work is paying off, man. This is an exciting opportunity, I think. So you'll be working March 12th with Nick Vetterot.
Yeah, March 12th. It's at the Rendezvous Cafe in O'Fallon, Missouri. It's a intimate venue, seating. They normally just take reservations for it, so seating is limited. But it's a really good room. I've had the opportunity to go to a few of those shows and help Sean out. Sean Arredondo is the creator and host of it. I'm very thankful that he's given me the opportunity to come on and do some time and also work with Nick Vetterot. And it should be a really good show. It's, like I said, it's an intimate room, and it's normally a good crowd.
I've been over there a few of them. Saw like Josh Arnold over in there, and he's one of my favorites to watch. And I can't think of who else. Sean is always bringing in some good quality talent, and Nick Vetterot's no exception. He's one of my favorites to watch, man. He's been on the show twice. When he's in town,
on this show,
yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's been one of my favorites to talk to. He's just so quick, man. He's very, very funny. And,
I've seen him on TV a couple times, so yeah, I'm really excited to to work with him. And yeah, I'm sure, like I said, it'll be a really good show, and I'm excited to walk, not only to perform, but to watch him. So
sure. Yeah, man. There's a joke he does, Nick, that like gets me every time, and he doesn't like, I know he won't, it's not like in his act any, really, I don't think much anymore. I've seen him live a couple times recently, and he doesn't do it. But he saying something about a girl, and he's like, and just the, I think for Nick, it's sometimes his jokes are even funnier just be this facial, you know, he's really good at delivering it, you know, they act out and stuff, and,
yeah,
and everything else. But he, one of the jokes that gets me every time is he goes, she's a real butter dick, and like that just cracks me up, man. Like, I just, such a,
yeah, I don't know if I've seen that one, but like, I've been able to catch him a couple times. I think I saw him on Axis TV,
right?
Which is kind of a premium cable, but it's a good network. They have a Gotham Comedy Live. It's a really good show. I like to watch, and yeah. I see a lot of people on there. But
well, he's done Conan and Fallon.
Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. So, yeah, like I said, it'd be interesting to meet him, and excited to get to open for him, and also just get to meet him. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of funny to think about. I've heard some comedians say this, that they prefer to work smaller venues with maybe 40 or 50 people, which is kind of where this show will probably be at, as opposed to working maybe some of the bigger clubs and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I'm sure they both got pros and cons, but
yeah.
I think like working in an intimate room like that allow you to kind of do some more stuff, you know, some different alternative things or whatever and stuff, instead of trying to focus on your hour at a club and things like that. You can kind of have a little more free range to have some fun with it. And
yeah, definitely, and maybe interact with, some guys prefer to interact with the crowd a little bit, but then, but also everyone's, you know, paying attention, and no one's, you know, in a club sometimes you get people on their cell phones,
yeah,
or talk or chatting or whatever else. But yeah, I've gotten the opportunity to go to a couple of these O'Fallon Out Loud shows, and you know, everyone is just kind of locked in and ready for the ride, ready to laugh. So
yeah,
makes it a good show. And it, as a comedian, you know, it makes your job a little easier. You don't have to, you know, the people are there to see you and laugh, and you little less nerve wracking, and you're more comfortable.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think at rendezvous you're going to get the, you know, bachelor or bachelorette party.
No.
And
yeah.
So that kind of went, I went to a memory always comes to mind. I went to see, Anthony Jeselnik at the Westport Funny Bone, and it happened to be on, St. Patrick's Day, and it was a Saturday night midnight show, and I went, and there was, everybody was just like hammered drunk in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then somebody ends up like puking in their beer bucket, and having to get carried out, and
I can't imagine.
some girl like answers her phone in the middle of his show, and like, I'm at the comedy club, you know, and like,
wow.
And of course it's Jeselnik, so he just like lays into everybody and like just,
yeah,
ripping them apart, and I'm just back to loving every minute of it. And so,
I don't know if I've seen anyone answer their phone at the club yet, but I've seen it at like open mics and stuff. And but even being an open mic and someone on stage, it's like, what? I don't know what's going through people's head. They start their own conversation on the phone, like, yeah, no, yeah, I'm at the Funny Bone, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess just some people just have no awareness. I'm sure alcohol factors into that too. But
right.
Yeah, I've only gotten the opportunity to go to one midnight show on a Saturday. It was pretty wild though. So yeah. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know it was like that. So,
right.
But from what I've been told, it varies though. Like, you'll get sometimes you get a drunk crowd obviously at midnight, and other times you just get like a really good crowd. So I'm sure it varies week to week. But
yeah. I was thinking, you know, the comparison between the two. I've told a story once, but it's I once saw Sean Patton at Foam down in on Cherokee.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, are you familiar with Sean at all?
Not really. No.
He's
I've heard the name.
Yeah, he's a really funny guy. He's a host. Hosted a some kind of bar show, Best Bars in America show.
Oh, okay.
And with Jay Larson. And anyway, I saw Sean in, at Foam there, and he just so funny and like just was doing all this crazy act out stuff, and then he was like going this kind of character. He's like looking out the window and doing all this stuff, you know. And he then he like throws his hands up, kind of marches off the stage, and he goes out the door. There's the front door, they're right next to the stage there, and the door locked behind him. And he but he like is staying committed to the character, like Mark, you know, he's like walking up the street, like there's a big window there, and you can watch him, like he's like walking up the street, and he's like screaming and yelling and doing all this stuff. And then he comes in the back door where everybody else entered, and walks up through the middle of the crowd, and goes back up, picks up the mic, and like it was just so funny, and like just that moment where Sean just, you know, doing this whole bit and stuff. But
for some reason, I'm picturing George Bush now when he walks away from the podium, and he tries to open the door and it's locked, and he just starts waving to for the reporters and gets to go through a different door. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I remember that. But so Sean like commits to the bit, and he stays in character there, and he gets back up there on stage and gets back into his jokes. But I saw him at the Funny Bone, you know, 2 or 3 months later or whatever. He came back to town, and he did like a completely different hour, you know, in a club, and did and you know, but it's just like that kind of stuff, like that moment in the bar, like that's you know, a once in a lifetime kind of thing. You don't, like, you know, these guys that do these clubs, like they don't get to do that, a lot of that, the silliness kind of stuff, just because it just doesn't work in a club setting like that. But you know, like I said, in the bar, he was able to let loose a little more and have some fun with it. And
yeah, it's very true. Like a bar or a smaller venue, you know, you just, it's got more experienced guys, know how to have fun and get up there and try new things. And yeah, like you said, let loose. So yeah, I'm not to that point yet, but yeah, maybe after I've been doing it for 10 years or something.
Sure, yeah.
Start going to bar open mics just for the hell of it and see what crazy things I can do. So.
There's a store, I don't know, you know, obviously never seen it in person, but they, according to story, Brian Regan, who I consider one of the, you know.
Yeah,
the
he was
best.
In town last night at Peabody.
Yeah, right, yeah, man, he, but they say, he's pretty good about that kind of stuff. Will drop into the local club and stuff, and like, you know, Funny Bone or whatever, and and go up and do a couple minutes at the mic and everything, you know, stuff like that. So, I don't know. I think that's, if that's true, I think that's really cool, because, like, just to not forget where you came from, you know, like these, you know, like I said, open mics or whatever it is, not afraid to be, you know, too famous or whatever, too big to go back to the club and stuff
Like
that.
Yeah, I don't think it's that uncommon. I've heard that a lot. I'm sure there's some bigger stars that, you know, I think they're too good, but one common guy at the Funny Bone, you might have seen Greg Warren, and he's a little bigger name now. I've probably seen him at 4 or 5 open mics, and I saw him probably might have been 3 or 4 weeks ago up at the Funny Bone. He was in town, so yeah, I think it's cool that he'll usually do 10 minutes, and then you mentioned just like kind of guys, you know, with, like talking to the crowd and goofing around and stuff. I think Josh Arnold is kind of one of those guys. He's always comes to the open mic at Funny Bone too, and I enjoy watching him. But he's one of those guys, you know, someone in the crowd will say something, and he'll just go with it. For next thing you know, it's like it's 5 minutes of crowd work.
Sure, but
he's so good at that. Just kind of going off the cusp and you know interacting with the crowd or just taking something and running with it. So, but yeah, he's fun to watch too, and he's, you know, had a lot of success now too. So
I would also suggest, if you ever get a chance to sit next to Josh at the open mic, it will increase your experience by 100%, because he is one, like, his laugh is just infectious.
Oh yeah, I've heard his. I think I have sat next to him a couple times. And he does that on stage too, and yeah, his laugh's good, and he's Yeah, he's an overall like nice guy and easy to talk to, and he's very funny.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good about, you know, helping out too. Like if you have questions or, you know, something about a joke or anything like that, I'm sure he's...
Yeah, he's definitely helped me out a few times. I've asked him about a joke maybe once or twice. I don't know. I try not to ask, like, go up to people, hey, what'd you think of this or that? And I don't know, I almost feel like I'm bothering people sometimes. But yeah, he's definitely helped me out and been like, yeah, that's a good joke or that's a good premise. And, you know, you should tweak this or maybe if you add this or that. And, and then even just kind of like the social and networking aspect of comedy, too. Just kind of how to present yourself and, you know, what do you need to do at the clubs and stuff like that. So there's been multiple guys, kind of Sean Arredondo, Rob Durham, and some of those. So, yeah, it's nice talking to some of the guys who've been around for a while and who might be featuring or headlining now that you can just, like, hey, how would you go about this? Or and especially, like, starting an open mic. That I don't know if you're saving that part for later, but yeah, especially starting out my open mic though, I tried to talk to quite a few of those guys and been like, because up until that point I'd really never hosted anything, and you know, hey, what's the best way to go about this? Or, like, how would you start it? Like, what's the best way to market this? And things like that. So I got a lot of help from guys who've been around, so, and making that more successful now. So.
Yeah, they it seems like that a lot of these guys, you know, the comics in the area are very supportive of each other. You know, it's not really a lot of competition. You know, the people who seem, I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of that, but the fact that, but it seems like a lot of these guys are out support, you know, very supportive of each other. They, you know, go to each other's shows and saying, you know, go out and watch actual other comedy and stuff.
Yeah, so. I try to go out and support guys that are, like, some of my friends who might be hosting at the Funny Bone. I went to a show last night at Melt, Tree Sanchez.
Yeah.
She's been doing for a couple months, Happy Tree and Friends. So that's was a good show. But, yeah, definitely try to support everyone. I think, yeah, for the most part, everyone's pretty supportive and they're willing to help you out. And, like I said, I've only been around about a year and a half, but guys who ask me stuff that maybe have been around for a couple months or 6 months, like, I try to help them out as much as I can and, you know, drop some knowledge, any knowledge that I have on them.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, so you you mentioned your open mic. You started this, your own open mic here in St. Charles, Missouri at Parrots on, that's Wednesdays at 8 p.m.,
Yep, Parrots Bar and Grill, right off 94, corner of 94 and Junk Station, for those who are familiar with that location. We started it, our first one was January 20th, so we've done, I think, like 7 open mics now. They've all been really good. We had one where it was like snowing all day, so that was a low turnout, but yeah, it's kind of... I guess I'm somewhat surprised. We've had good comics come out and support, good crowds come out, and I've never, and just to give some background on that mic, I never really thought about starting an open mic, but the owner of Parrots Bar and Grill, he posted something on social media that they were wanting to start doing comedy at the bar and kind of do something outside of music, and it just so happened I live up the street from there, and so I figured it'd just be a good opportunity for me and gain some experience. And I really didn't know how to, I guess, go about it or get it started or what all went into it. Other than, I mean, just going to open mics, you obviously observe a lot and how people run their mics.
Right.
But yeah, and so long story short, I ended up talking with him a couple times, and we ended up. I said, hey, yeah, let's set a target date, the 20th. And so I made sure to go out and talk to guys and gauge their interest on it, too. And then I started marketing, and we decided to do it. I think our initial conversation, we were like 10 days out. And it's funny, I was like, so when are you wanting to do this? And he's like, oh, as soon as possible. I think he was wanting to, I talked to him like on a Friday. I think he was wanting to do it the following week. I was like, yeah,
let's give it another week, maybe market it and like make sure this is successful. Because I'm the kind of guy that if I start something, I want it to be successful. I'd rather not just do the open mic a couple times. Like, well, you know, we tried or whatever, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, going into it, I was like, basically had the mindset of, I want to start this, like, strong, really get it going and get it to be successful. And like I said, I reached out to guys like Sean Arredondo and like a Scott James and a Josh Arnold, and kind of asked their advice and their opinions. And also, like, all the guys that run open mics, Chris Sear and JC Sabala have a good open mic going on Wednesday as well. So I wanted to make sure that my mic wouldn't interfere with them, with theirs, and then also that the comedians could still make it out to their open mic, Wild Card Comedy, after they do mine. So, and yeah, they said, you know, there wouldn't be any issues. So we do ours at our show's at 8 o'clock, and then the comedians that come to my open mic at 8 o'clock, they can still then go to the other open mic and get a double dose of comedy that night. So
yeah,
and coincidentally it was great timing too to add to that, because unfortunately the Valley Park Funny Bone, you know, they had to close their doors right there around the beginning of the year. And then yeah, coincidentally this guy, his name's Paul, owner of the Parrot's Bar and Grill, he posted that he was wanting to do something on a Wednesday. So I was like, this is perfect. I was like, he wants to do it on a Wednesday. Right. This would be a substitute for Valley Park Funny Bone, and I live right up the street. And I was like, so everything just kind of made sense and fit into place, and it was like almost the perfect opportunity for me. And I've tried to take advantage of it and get it going strong and do all the marketing and stuff. So,
well, it's nice too to like bring a comedy to St. Charles area. I mean, with Sean's been doing the Fallin' Out Loud rendezvous show that you're going to be doing for a little while now, a couple of years, I think. You know, but we don't really have much for comedy out in on this side of the river. So,
yeah, it's very true. As I started doing comedy more and talking to guys, I realized that most of the guys live closer to like the St. Louis area. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a concern too, and that's why I brought up that I went out and talked to some of the comedians and gauged interest. So one of the questions I asked was like, is this something you would drive 20 or 30 minutes to come out to? Like, maybe not on a weekly basis, but definitely like maybe every other week. And like I said, for the most part, guys were willing to come out, and of course they want to get experience for themselves, and every open mic is a chance to learn something and test out jokes. So so like I said, yeah, it all worked out. But yeah, I'm glad, and I've heard a couple people say that, you know, that they're glad I brought something out closer this way. So yeah, I'm glad I can kind of provide that service, if you will. And yeah, outside of O'Fallon Out Loud, there's really nothing around like St. Charles County, and then the Funny Bone is the closest thing.
Right.
So other than that, all the open mics and stuff are out around St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately for me, all the other open mics I usually drive like 20 to 30 minutes to get to. So
yeah.
But I don't mind, cuz it's, you know, it's stage time for me. So
yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad I could provide that, and hopefully we can keep it going and more people around St. Charles or O'Fallon or Wentzville maybe were in my situation, like thinking about doing comedy, but they don't want to drive an hour or whatever, will come out to Parrot's on a Wednesday. So.
Yeah, yeah. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, hey, I've been thinking about it, and you want to give it a shot, come out to Parrot's on Wednesdays. See Andy, try to get signed up for the open mic.
Yep, and then just to add that, we do sign up at about 7:30, and show starts at 8, and we usually give you about 4 to 5 minutes. Like I said, it's always a fun time. It's even though it's I'm running the show and keeping track of a lot of stuff, it's fun for me to watch the other guys, you know, try out new jokes as well. So
yeah, you so if you enjoy you know, running it now, or are you?
Is this, now I do. Yeah. The first few ones were kind of stressful because, like I said, I really didn't know how the turnout would be. I didn't know if like a crowd would come.
Right.
And I'd put time into it, marketing throughout the week as far as printing flyers and putting them at local businesses, and of course social media is a big tool these days and doing that. So it's one of those things you put so much time into and you want it to be successful, and then a little nervous about, man, what if this doesn't work? Like, this all just like all for nothing kind of thing. But yeah. I think it's gotten to the point, like I said, I think we've done about 7 now. So this week will probably be our 8th. So it's kind of getting to that point where I think we should have no problem sustaining success and going forward. And I think now that we've had a lot of successful shows, it's something that'll stick around for a while, hopefully.
Yeah. did I see you made a Facebook page for it?
Yeah, I do have a Facebook page. So if you go to like facebook.com/ParrotsComedy, I believe, or you can just search Parrots Comedy. Definitely go like the page, and I try to post some pictures from the open mic every week just to give people an idea of what it's like. So yeah, definitely check that out on Facebook.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I put your picture up here. I do it every week just to help.
Yeah, so you got an old one with my fraternity shirt on. Right. That's pretty cool, though. Me and my brother.
Right. I thought I was trying to find something fairly recent with just you. There was you had a lot from like a wedding and stuff.
Yeah, I don't take pictures really or selfies, so I don't have a lot of recent pictures. All my pictures are from like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But my girlfriend took a picture of me, and that's like the only picture I have of me on stage. So
yeah. But I like one just to help do some advertising about the appearance on the show, but also to get some crowd participation in the show, you know.
Yeah.
So the fans fans wrote in some questions. If you want to answer some of these,
yeah, let's do it. Let's see what we got.
Jackie writes, "Why does his brother Reno get so mad at him?"
Good question. Yeah. I think probably because I just give him a lot of shit, and he's.
You guys are about 2 years apart.
We're about only like a year and a couple months apart. So, because his birthday's in April and my birthday's in June, so we're really only like 14 months apart.
Okay.
Probably just because I make fun of him like on a daily basis, and
so little brothers are good for.
Yeah, but he's kind of a character, so it's easy because he'll. He just does some off-the-wall shit, and so I make fun of him or give him shit, and then he just gets pissed off. And we actually used to work together. We worked together for, like, a couple of years.
Right.
And in an office setting, and I'd always just crack jokes just to get my coworkers, get people laughing and in a good mood.
Sure.
And it was anything from his outfit to the car he drove. I don't know. Yeah, one time, but half the time, though, he would start it by making fun of me, but then I was witty enough to have some comebacks, but then I would just kind of take it to the next level, and he'd get pissed off.
Right.
Like, one time he came over to me at work, and it's an office setting, there's like, you know, desks and cubes and stuff, and he started making fun of my Cardinals shirt. He's like, man, it's like, what's up with your Cardinals shirt? It's so fucking old. And it's like, it's the Arizona Cardinals, or something to that effect. And without hesitation, I was just like, so, to preface it, he had a gray polo on, gray dress pants, so he's decked out in all gray. Like, normally, people will wear, like, gray pants with a colored shirt. He's wearing all gray. So without hesitation, I just turned around and was like, okay, let's talk about your outfit. You're wearing all gray polo, gray undershirt, gray pants. What are you trying to blend in with the cubicles? And like the whole two rows of coworkers just started cracking up, laughing, and disrupted the workday. But I don't know, just shit like that. But yeah. It's easy because he's just a character. So I guess that's why he gets mad at me.
John asked, how many hearts did he break in college?
None. None. I don't think. Maybe a couple. I got my heart broken a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't know. I tried to always. I had a great time in college and met a lot of girls, met a lot of people, and sometimes you just. I tried to let them off easy, but sometimes it didn't work out like that. Yeah. I don't know. I consider myself a nice guy, and I always tried to be nice to people in school and even today. And
right.
Back then, like when I went to school, you could still get away with the "it's not you, it's me" routine. So that's an old one now. But
yeah.
Back then, you could be like, "Yeah, you know, I just want to be single. Nothing you did. I just and right. then, yeah. I don't think I broke any hearts though.
So. Yeah.
maybe a couple.
Our buddy Jameson wrote in a bunch of these questions. He was on fire with some of these.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
this one I thought was interesting though. Ask it here is Robert De Niro and Jay Leno impression.
Robert De Niro is just a facial. I don't have an actual De Niro. It's
yeah,
just
right.
One of those. So so we can't transfer that to the podcast. Yeah. But my Jay Leno. So like I said earlier, I grew up watching Jay Leno, but my Jay Leno is. One of the guests that he had regularly on there was Dana Carvey, mm-hmm. one of my favorite comedians. And Dana Carvey, of course, is the master of impressions. So my impression of Jay Leno is Dana Carvey's impression of Jay Leno. So Dana Carvey would go on there and he'd just say something like, you know, why tell joke when you can just, you know. Or why take a vacation when you just tell joke? Or, you know. So I started doing that because they'd be like, "What? Why are you doing this and this?" And I've to give some background. I've gone through quite a few jobs in the past couple of years. So,
all right.
So he'd be like, "Hey, where are you working now?" Or Jameson would be like, "Where are you working now? Or have you been applying?" I'm like, why get a job when you can just tell joke? that's basically my Jay Leno, but I got that from Dana Carvey. So
you're doing a Dana Carvey impression, doing a Jay Leno.
Basically, Jay Leno impression. And anyone Jay Leno, he's kind of got that higher pitch,
sure.
So it's exaggerated, of course.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But you know. that's my Jay Leno.
Yeah.
But no, I've never been too good at impressions, but
right. I do a couple of voices, but like I don't really think there are any.
Oh yeah,
any impressions?
What do you got?
I mean, I know, like I just like I try to. I feel like I'm good at a similar kind of what you're talking about. Like I feel like I'm good at repeating it. You know,
it's yeah, like emulating.
Yeah, emulating other people's impressions or voices that I've heard, but like I'm not really great at taking. So some of those guys, like, it's crazy that they can take that and become that character and like, stay in there, you know, and work that voice and write and do all kinds of different stuff as that character. And you know, it's just that's crazy to me. But I don't know. Like, I do stuff, you know, a couple different voices, just different things, like, usually TV stuff or, like, you know, like Hank Hill or something like
that. Oh, Hank Hill,
like,
okay.
Stuff like, oh, damn it, Bobby, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like
that's pretty good.
Stuff, you know. Those are the boys been whacking off my tool shit.
That's pretty good.
Stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not, like I said, I'm not, I'm no pro at impressions, but I,
Why watch King of the Hill? We can just do podcasting.
Yeah, there you go.
That's about it. I usually, every time I'm around Jameson, I usually throw out that voice.
Sure.
But yeah, that's basically the only impression I got. Then I can try to contort my face into a Robert De Niro face. But, like, good. Good.
Yeah. De Niro. Yeah, man, he's the best. Let's see. What else we got on? Jackie also asked, how many times a week does he have just a peanut butter sandwich?
I didn't know what that meant. No. Zero. I can't remember the last time I had a peanut butter and jelly. I don't know where she got that from.
Right.
I think maybe she was trying to make a joke with me because I'm technically unemployed right now. So
yeah.
Well, I work part time, but so yeah, that's kind of. We always make jokes about that with Jameson and Jackie. So,
right.
But.
Yeah, I. yeah, I don't know. Like the weekend, I don't know. There's a couple. Jameson asked. Ask him about what his nickname is. I think a lot of these are we kind of discuss our inside jokes, but
yeah.
Do you have a nickname?
Well, back in college, my nickname was the Fox.
Fox. Huh?
Yeah, one of my buddies gave me that nickname because we partied pretty hard, and usually I would So how he came up with it was one night he's like, man, every time I have a party in my room, it's like, you know, we're hanging out, we got 10 people, and you're here 1 minute, and then next minute you're like disappearing with some girl, and you're just gone, you just vanish.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're like a fox. And for whatever reason, that name just stuck.
Yeah, man.
And so people just kind of went with that, so everyone just called me the Fox. And the last couple of years of school, and then even now that I'm out of school, like people I'm friends with still call me the Fox. So yeah, for us, it's just one of those things that kind of just stuck. But
yeah, well, that's not. It could be worse.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot worse nicknames than the Fox. And but yeah, people realize, why do they call you the Fox? And
right,
kind of just a story to it. It's not like it's like, why do they call you Red? Well, it's because I have red hair, or it's short for Redmond.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things you have to explain, I guess, or just a small group of people know about.
Sure. So what did you study in school?
I studied, initially I started out studying pre-law, actually, in legal studies, and then I kind of went the criminal justice route. And so I got a degree in criminal justice, but then I also have a degree in business, more sales and marketing. I think it was my sophomore or junior year, I just started taking more business classes because I have to take like the core classes. So, long story short, I just felt like I wanted to also go in the direction of business. I enjoyed those classes, and so I figured it'd be beneficial to have that degree as well. So. So yeah, I have a business in sales and marketing, and also criminal justice. Haven't done anything with my criminal justice degree. I've had a few different jobs where I've actually been able to apply my business degree, and I've gotten certain jobs because I had that degree and like my internship and that background. So,
mm-hmm.
But
that'll be. I'm sure all that will come in handy when you get out there. On the road and everything. You have a nice business background and stuff, yeah, to market yourself. And
I'd say maybe it's helped me a little bit. Like I said, starting that open mic, you have to do a lot of marketing, mm-hmm, and market yourself in the show. And also, now I have a business relationship with the bar. So
yeah, that's all.
I'd say
is selling yourself, man.
You gotta. So I say it's just having that background and taking those courses helped me a little bit, but it's definitely nothing like, being a part of a corporation or CEO, but definitely a little bit there that's helped me out. So,
right, man. So you can catch Andy again March 12th, Saturday. Call, make those reservations over at Rendezvous. Over off of Highway K in O'Fallon, Missouri.
Yep, North Main Street, yeah. O'Fallon, Missouri. Check that out.
Oh yeah, it's not K over on that side anymore.
Technically, yeah, it is, but
you can catch him over there with Nick Vatterott, and then on Wednesdays you can go see him at with the Parrots Open Mic,
yep. Parrots Bar and Grill in St. Peter's, but St. Peter's, St. Charles. It's like it's actually right on the border of St. Peter's and St. Charles. So, like I said, I live like a half mile, probably a quarter mile from the bar. I live in St. Charles. The bar is actually in St. Peter's. Okay. So it's kind of weird. Yeah. But But yeah, just look up Parrot's Bar and Grill, and it's pretty easy to get to. So
yeah. All right. So 2016. Here we got what already a big show with Nick Vatterott. You started your first open mic. What's another big goal you'd like to see happen in this year?
Well, I think my goal here for this year is to host a weekend at the Funny Bone or the Helium Comedy Club, just at a comedy club. So I'd love to do that. I haven't gotten a chance to do that yet. I've been fortunate to have a couple guest sets up there. So that's my primary goal. We also have the comedy competition coming up at the Westport Funny Bone. That's going to be starting in May, I believe. So I think my goal is not necessarily to win that or whatever, but basically just have a great set there and hopefully move on to the next round. I did it last year, and I think being newer to comedy, I just maybe put too much pressure on myself and did not have a good set with probably 100 people there. So it's definitely disappointing, but
yeah.
So my goal though is for this year to enter the competition, have a good set. Of course, you want to make it to the next round or make it to the finals, but I think for me, just getting that exposure since I still am relatively new, and having a great set up there, and maybe some more people will know who I am after that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, who's that guy? It's like, he didn't go to the next round, but he had a good set. That's kind of my main goals for 2016. I guess I hadn't really thought about it till you just mentioned it, but yeah. I'm off to a pretty good start. I started an open mic, and I got this show coming up here in a couple weeks. Pat myself on the back. And then I guess thirdly, just keep working hard and keep trying to get better and develop material, obviously, and keep going out to all the other open mics.
How do you feel you write? Like, is it more as like just a perspective, observational comedy, or are you trying to write like a? Do you have a style yet?
I think previously it was more observational. I'm trying to. Usually, what I'll do is I'll see something, whether it be in the news or just out here in Wentzville, Missouri, and I'll be like, wow, that was crazy, or that was funny, and then I was be like, maybe I can write a bit about that. Mm-hmm. And so that's normally how most of my stuff starts, I'll just think something will just pop into my head, and I'll just try to write down the actual premise, and then from there I'll sit down and try to develop it. And I think now, of course, one of the biggest things with comedy is just relating to a mass audience. So I've had just things come up in your own personal life that, you know, maybe you feel people can relate to, so I try to do that. So I have a few relationship jokes now that I'm have a girlfriend and we're going out, so those have been doing pretty well, just because people, I think, can relate to that. I think that's... I don't know if I have really a style yet. I'd say maybe I'm still trying to work on that, but yeah, there's some observational things, and then there's also some things that just everyday life, so I'd say that's... If I had to say I had a style, that's kind of what it is. But yeah, normally I'll see something. I might just be driving around or eating out or something, and I'll see something. I'm like, wow, that's the perfect bit, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and you try to develop that. So
yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, because like I think when you get started, you're probably gonna be doing a lot more, even if you're not doing it on purpose, it's just going to be a natural thing to like emulate some people that you've seen before.
That's a common thing with comedians, and I'm sure I probably tried to emulate somebody when I started.
Sure.
But yeah, I think the common mistake people starting out is just, you know, telling more self-deprecating jokes, mm-hmm. or dick jokes, as they're referred to in the business.
Right.
So, and luckily, I've always been pretty clean for the most part, and I think, like I said, my first bit was nothing. It was about a TV show, so yeah. Luckily, I think I kind of strayed away from just kind of those that raunchy humor that a lot of guys start out with. So
yeah, but yeah, it's probably a good habit to keep if you were into it, because like. I always, like I said, mentioned Brian Regan, and he doesn't curse at all.
Yeah.
I heard him curse on Nerdist podcast a little while back.
Yeah.
And it was so funny, though, because, like, just one, you don't ever hear him saying anything. Like, so it was on Nerdist, he did, so you're familiar with Brian's material?
Yeah, a little bit.
So he's got a joke about Pop-Tarts and how, like, you know, there's toaster directions, obviously, but there's also microwave directions. He's like, you know, so the joke is, you know, that who doesn't have that much time in their schedule, you know, freed up to where they have to, you know, microwave a Pop-Tart. They couldn't toast it and stuff. And
right.
All that. So he does, like, the whole joke, but he puts, like, motherfucker in there, like, every other word kind of thing. You know, he, like, gets it real dirty and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
And I'm, like, losing it. I'm just like, it's so funny here, because it's still such a solid joke. But the fact that, like, now he's just throwing all these curse words in there, for me, and it was just that joke, even that on himself, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that's an interesting point. I've heard a lot of comedians say that you would consider clean. Like, yeah, I just add this word or that word to it and just emphasizes, like, I don't know, it's a weird thing. Like, sometimes a curse word can help your joke, a certain joke,
sure, but
it has to be... like the perfect situation almost. Yeah. So.
But what there was a quote Brian said, you know, something along the lines about, like, you know, whatever, the seven words you can't say on TV. But for every one of those words, there's, like, you know, so many different words that you could put in there. And then sometimes it makes it funnier. So it's like,
yeah.
So he's like, why would you limit yourself to only being able to say, you know, this when you can say all kinds of stuff? So, and I thought that was a good perspective on it, you know, just the fact that so many people get stuck with that vocabulary of just curse words and things. And,
yeah, definitely.
And granted, you know, sometimes it can get a laugh, but I feel like sometimes it's a cheaper laugh. You know, if you can write a solid material without a curse word in there, then that's even harder work to, you know.
Yeah, so. Who was it? George Carlin with the seven words?
Yeah, Carlin.
Yeah, he's another one I grew up watching a little bit, but yeah, if you go out to and watch, you know, and like I said, some of the guys that I've kind of learned from, I've always just starting out, I've been, you know, try to have they call it the Tonight Show set,
sure.
You know, a clean 5 minutes, and I mean, if you have one or two curse words, you know, it's not a huge deal, but I've always kind of been taught, you know, you don't want to be dropping F. You don't want to be Cat Williams dropping F bombs and motherfuckers every 5 seconds.
So. Well, I think that's too. With also like with Bill Burr, you know, when like for him, like and Cat and you know whatever these some of these guys, like it's part of a character. You know,
yeah, it works. Yeah, it works for certain people, and even like look like Sean O'Brien. He's really good, but I wouldn't. I mean, he curses the storm on stage, but he's really funny.
It's for Sean. It's the same kind of thing. It's that character he becomes on stage where he's just so frustrated, like he has to, you know, say his curse words.
Yeah, he's like that frustrated guy talking about what the fuck is Emo's Pizza or something. But for certain people it works. It's just who they've maybe it's a character. Maybe it's sometimes just who they are and.
Right.
They just, and then people start to recognize them. So,
yeah, man.
It works for certain people. I don't know if it would ever work for me, so I just try to stick to what's been working. So.
Right. Well, all right, buddy. Well, this has been a whole lot of fun, man. I appreciate you coming out and hanging out, doing the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Is this your very first podcast?
This is my first podcast.
Yeah.
So, it's been a lot of fun, and thanks for having me on. And, yeah, enjoyed talking about my stuff coming up. I'll go ahead and plug those one more time.
Yeah, definitely.
March 12th, be opening for Nick Batterat, the Rendezvous Cafe in O'Fallon, Missouri. And then every Wednesday night, open mic night hosted by myself at Parrot's Bar and Grill in St. Peter's. And yeah, hopefully we'll get to do this again. It's been fun. Some interesting fan questions from social media. All right.
Do you have a Twitter or any of that stuff that you would like to plug at all for people to reach out? Or
I'm kind of old school. I don't have a Twitter or an Instagram. I do have a Facebook, so you can look up Andy Hamilton on Facebook, or you can also look up facebook.com/parrotscomedy as well for our open mic Facebook page. I usually try to post pictures on there every week.
Cool. All right. I'll be sure to tag it all so people can, if you having trouble finding it, you can find it all on rockpaperpodcast.com as well. So, but yeah, man, thanks again for hanging, and come see Andy live. Coming to Funny Bone or Helium or any of those.
Yeah,
stuff
I'll be around St. Louis as well, so maybe you'll see me at the Funny Bone or a bar mic or Helium.
Yeah, cool. All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, man.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.